on a windswept prairie just northeast of the small western Minnesota town of Morris, in a field of corn and soybeans, a group of soil scientists are doing what farmers have done here for hundreds of years. They're tilling the soil. It's a typical farm scene, until the scientists roll up with what looks like a big inverted fish tank on a front-end loader. They're using this device to try and determine how much carbon dioxide, or CO2, comes out of the soil when it's tilled. CO2 is a greenhouse gas. Research technician Chris Wente sits in the cab of the front-end loader, which holds the tank over the soil being tilled. The tank collects what is released into the air after the blade has turned the soil over, and Wente measures the results.
See, the CO2 has already went off scale for the user interface. You can watch and see how it's flying. It's really increasing dramatically fast.
What they found in 5 years of research is that when soil is broken, there is a big burp of carbon dioxide. It happens for a couple of reasons. First, there is some CO2 trapped in the soil that escapes. But turning up the soil also mixes oxygen with carbon contained in the soil, and microbes then turn that carbon and oxygen into carbon dioxide. The experiment is the work of Don Rakoski, a USDA soil scientist in Morris. Rakoski says intensive tilling is like setting a match to carbon in the soil.
Well, when the blacksmith wants a hotter fire, what does he do? He pumps air through it, and you see the coals glow as he does that because he's putting in more oxygen. And that oxygen results in a very rapid oxidation and a very rapid burning, and that's what happens when you till the soil.
Rakoski says this burning has, over the last 150 years or so, used up 30 to 50% of the carbon in the soil, sending it into the atmosphere as carbon dioxide. So Rakoski is using his findings to try to convince farmers to switch to less intensive types of tilling, like low-till or no-till, where little or no soil is disturbed. Agriculture officials in Washington, D.C. are in favor of that approach. Bill Hohenstein, the director of the USDA's Global Change Program Office, says conservation measures are beneficial to the environment and to farmers, even if it is a big change for some in how they operate.
But in the long run, by improving the health of the soil and enhancing the organic content of the soil, you can improve water retention, you can improve overall productivity, and actually reduce things like soil erosion and nutrient runoff into waterways.
The USDA is watching how the agriculture industry affects the amount of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. The Global Change Program Office monitors not only CO2 from the soil, but also fossil fuels burned on farms, methane produced by farm animals and their waste, and nitrous oxide that comes from the use of fertilizer. Figures are preliminary, but scientists say farms produce 7 to 20% of the gases that contribute to global warming. But on a farm east of Painesville, Minnesota, the concern right now isn't about greenhouse gases. It's how the corn looks ahead of this fall's harvest.
It has to be just as good as last year, which will give us right around 140 bushels of corn, which is not bad.
Dave Brinkman manages this 1,000-acre corn and soybean farm. Brinkman uses conservation tilling, plus he's put in place several measures to manage animal waste and reduce the impact of chemicals on his land. Brinkman is a conservation farmer, the kind people concerned about the environment like to see, but he says it's not an easy thing to get into for a lot of farmers, in part because it's expensive.
It's a cost of machinery to do different practices, and you aren't going to just go and trade your whole line of machinery out. It costs money, and that's the thing they'll look at.
Brinkman says his yields are the same or better than farmers who use more traditional farming methods, but it took a few years to get to that point. And Brinkman says right now, low farm prices make it difficult for farmers to make a living. When helping the environment hits the bottom line, he says the environment sometimes can't compete. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Tim Poe.